two books left out. And now we're going to go to the stars. We think things get kinky on Earth. I'm very sad to walk on this stage. Josh Gilliland, the co-founder of the Legal Geeks podcast, a California attorney, a lawyer. This man is a lawyer in real life.
I am.
He practices law. And tonight he's going to be talking about Star Trek and the law.
Correct.
Please welcome to stage, big round of applause.
I always feel like a rock star in your night. My name is Joshua Gilliland. I'm one of the co-founders of the Legal Geeks, which we started in July of 2012. We've done Comic-Con. I've done Nerd Night San Diego, Nerd Night LA, Nerd Night East Bay, Nerd Night San Francisco, and during the pandemic, Nerd Night New York and Nerd Night Honolulu. No, I did not go to either one. It was Zoom. So while we've been on the subject of sex, let's just highlight the importance of Star Trek and the first interracial kiss on TV, Quaco's stepchildren, which they were afraid would not air because of the South. And one of the head of the studio flew out from New York when they were going to film it in Burbank, and they thought he was going to shut it down. And he didn't. He went, no, I'm a fan of Michelle Nichols. So they boldly went, as we will tonight. So let's get this out of the way to begin with. My favorite Star Trek series, Deep Space Nine. Deep Space Nine, because Next Gen is what we want to be. Deep Space Nine is who we are. My favorite episode, Darmok. My favorite ship, as in Starship, USS Enterprise 1701 refit. And favorite captain, Kirk. Now, let's rock and roll. Because this is going to be the question you're all going to ask anyway. So let's start with it. Measure of a man. What is life? What is a person? Can Data just be ordered to go get disassembled because Commander Maddox wants to experiment on him?
Hell no.
Bad role.
No bad role in this one. It was a captain who was the JAG officer that presided over the hearing. And the question is, does Data as an android get fundamental rights? Does he get equal protection under the law? Does he get due process under the law? And any other lawyers in here besides Stephen? All right, good. My people. The question is, what is life? Because laws are what give us a civil society. Laws are what give us freedom. Laws are what make that beautiful vision of Star Trek a reality. Because without laws that guarantee you rights, we don't have them. We have rule by mob, we have cruelty, we have Florida. And I don't like fascists. So Data's question is, does he have fundamental rights? And the answer was, they don't know exactly what he has, but he does have some fundamental rights, and that is to choose to not to be disassembled. You don't get your rights taken away without due process of law. That's why we have courts there to protect you. It's for why those who have jury duty, God bless you. Because in a civil society, it's the law that holds us together. And without it, God forbid the terror that we would have. Picard, good lawyer. It's also weird in Trek that you don't see lawyers all that often. With two soon-to-be-two exceptions. We get Cogley in Court Martial, and the next episode of Strange New Worlds will have a lawyer. So, now let's talk about the other big issue. in the original series, 70% of fatalities wore a red shirt. Out of the 59 crew members that went on away missions, 43 of them died, and they were all wearing red shirts. One of them was a female yeoman who got turned into a cube and crushed. If you're wearing a red shirt in the TOS era, what rights do you have? Is there assumption of risk for having that? So here's just some of the ways you can die if you're wearing a red shirt. Killed by a plant. Vaporized. Vampire cloud. Beamed into space by sadistic children. Killed by an alien, which is really broad, so there's a lot of that. And then turned into a cube and crushed, which, that's not a good way to go. So, is there assumption of risk? Some of you might wonder, what does that mean? Well, it means you have an express agreement that you know that what you're doing is dangerous and you voluntarily assume that activity. There's another doctrine that ties to this, and that is the fireman's rule. My mom was a paramedic in the age when there weren't a lot of women who were paramedics. All 5 foot, 110 pounds of her had to run up 4 flights of stairs with a fire hose over her shoulder because that was her dream to go out and save people. First responders, police officers, people in the military take on dangerous jobs. They get paid to save others, paid to defend this country. They assume the risk of doing that because that's their job and that's why they're brave. However, they do not get a waiver for intentional conduct. So one of the stories my mother had as a young paramedic in LA was that people would call 911 for an ambulance to come in and then they would shoot at the ambulance. That's why police cars go in first. And same with Star Trek. So you might be aware of risk that you could die in engineering, but getting eaten by a cloud? That's not in the paperwork, that's not in the brochure. So something to think about. Now let's talk about the insanity defense. Now we'll pick 3 examples. So we got Scotty, end of the episode, Wolf in the Fold, where it's clear that Dr. McCoy failed psychology. We have Wrath of Khan, where the City Alta 5 eel goes into Chekhov's ear, and he does unspeakable things. And then Picard is captured by the Borg and turned into one of them, taking away everything that he is, and he has to fight everything that he loves. Kills 11,000. Starfleet officers at the Battle of Wolf 359. Did they understand the wrongfulness of their actions? Would the insanity defense apply to them? Well, let's take a look at the law because that's how we break things down. There's something that's called IRAC, issue, rule, analysis, conclusion. Well, if you're in federal court, the insanity defense is an affirmative defense, meaning that you did not understand the wrongfulness of your actions because of a mental disease or defect. California and other states have a spin on this. You have the irresistible impulse test that as a result of a mental disease, the defendant was unable to control his impulses, which led to a criminal act. And California's rule, an accused person must prove by a preponderance of the evidence, that means 51%, that he or she was incapable of knowing or understanding the nature and quality of their act, and of distinguishing right from wrong at the time of the commission of the offense. So let's break these down. Scotty's possessed by Jack the Ripper, which turned out to be a non-corporeal being that liked killing women. Now, Scotty is taken to Planet Red Light District by Kirk and McCoy because he got nearly killed in engineering and developed a total resentment to women. So let's take him to see a belly dancer? Chekhov, worm in the ear, follows Khan's orders. Picard, captured by the Borg. None of them are able to understand the wrongfulness of their actions or control themselves. I know Chekhov is the only one fighting it. Picard is unable to. Scotty's unable to. He completely blacks out when he kills those two women. Yeah. And there's a third. It's a rough episode because ladies keep dying. It was also like 67. So none of them understood what they were doing. The Insanity Defense would protect them. So let's talk about diversity in the practice of law. I'm a mixed messenger for this as a straight white dude. I don't own leather. And I don't. I know you guys could really hook me up for my birthday or Christmas, but that's okay. I wear bow ties. I'm very easy to shop for. But this picture from Court Martial that aired in February of 1967 is more diverse than what we have today. Because you have a female lawyer as first chair leading the prosecution. You have an Indian American judge who's a captain in this. In real life, the first Indian American nominated to the federal bench was in 2010 or 2013. So we're well into the 21st century. President Biden just nominated the first Native American to be a federal judge. That is way behind schedule. You have an African American commodore in charge of proceedings. This is 1967. Let's take a look at the map. When this episode aired, only 3% of lawyers in the United States were women. And Measure of a Man, in 1989, only 23% of lawyers were women. 1996, in the episode Rules of Engagement, 27%. Today, we're 38% of lawyers are women, even though we're at parity at law school. During the pandemic, that number dipped a little into the 37s, 0.4, 0.6. I think it's because women are also moms, and we didn't have a comprehensive plan for everyone shelter in place and what do we do with the kids because no one can go to school because there's a global pandemic killing people. So it went back up. So Star Trek has been revolutionary. And the fact that women are depicted as judges, as attorneys, and in the next episode of Strange New Worlds, we'll see another female attorney, second or third, including Philippa, in Star Trek history. So 85% of lawyers today are white dudes, or excuse me, that includes the ladies. Only 5% are African American, and only 5% are Hispanic. So President Biden saying, I want to put an African American woman on the United States Supreme Court was vitally necessary. And so for everyone complaining, oh, you just want to make race an issue and gender an issue, yes! Trump appointed straight white guys left and right.
Or right and right.
Yeah. They are. So, we're doing some course correcting. All right, let's talk about gender and sexual orientation discrimination from the TNG episode, Outcast. A race of all neuter people decide, hey, we're talking to the Federation. One of them decides, I identify as female, and she's sent to a gender conversion camp. Yeah, it's brutal. So that's wrong. We don't do that. And God have mercy on those who do. California law is actually quite liberal because we're a caring, compassionate state that gender identity is broadly defined as how somebody identifies. And your ID is supposed to conform to how you identify, which is nice. Let's talk about religious freedom. So Worf gets paralyzed, and the Klingon reaction to that is, help me commit suicide. Riker says, no, I'm not doing that. We have end-of-life laws in California that if somebody has a terminal disease, they can self-medicate themselves to death with a doctor's prescription. Being paralyzed is not one of them. When my dad had a stroke and was indefinitely locked in, he didn't qualify for that. But palliative care is to withdraw nourishment and medicate the person to death, and I still have issues with that. Let's talk about Far Beyond the Stars from Deep Space Nine. Sisko goes into a trance and dreams that he's a character named Benny, who is a science fiction writer. He and the female in the office are told to sleep in the day they're going to do an office group photo. You watch this and people think, for those who argue the 50s were the good old days, they weren't. They were good for a few. And we have laws that prohibit that kind of behavior. So we have the Civil Rights Act of 1964 that gets into the Equal Employment Opportunity Commission that to go out after this type of abhorrent behavior. We also have other laws associated with that, with you can't refuse hotel rooms and bar service to people because of their gender. Scary fact, there are Republicans who think that's okay. They miss civics. Gender discrimination. Again, we have a character that's a stand-in for DC Fontana, one of the best writers in all of Trek history, who goes through a fair amount of BS as well. And it's illegal to discriminate against people because of their sexual identity. So we have Frankie marriages, and it's, you know, it's one thing to go like, hey, I think your culture sucks. Some people take offense to that, but it's okay to go, no, you really do suck. Because your society is women can't learn to read, can't wear clothes, can't leave the house, screw all of you. And so when you're going to have a marriage between a Bajoran and a Ferengi, and she's given this prenup that divests her of property and makes her life would look like a living hell, the answer to that is no. So in California, we have laws against prenuptial agreements that would be unconscionable. Unconscionable is just doing things contrary to law. All of that is contrary to law, despite a fever dream of a judge in a neo-Confederate state. So, and what is unconscionable is decided by the court, not by a jury. So, let's talk about refugees, because, you know, they keep getting sent on buses, and that's bloody evil. So, we have a DS9 episode with refugees. Bajor survives 100 years of occupation by the Cardassians. You have refugees come through this wormhole, and they go like, hey, we're really good farmers. You have this continent you can't farm. We can make that work. And Bajor's reaction is, go away. We have our own problems. Sound familiar? So the fact that this is in the 90s, when this episode is written and aired, there's a lot in DS9 that predicts what does a free country look like when it goes to war, and it echoes us. So when it comes to refugees, there is a process that you apply for, saying that, hey, we're being persecuted, our homeland's destroyed, people want to behead us, help us. And being a refugee is not a crime. We have laws to protect those who suffer, and we have treaties in place, and God forbid those who discriminate against refugees just because I do think it's a crime against humanity. But that's just me, one lawyer. Let's talk about Lower Decks. I can say, as a male, I've done many stupid things to impress women. That happens in this episode, with Rutherford makes an AI on the holodeck, and things don't go well because it turns into a murder machine. That's a product defect. Tribbles are an invasive species. Here's keeping it in. The horta is an endangered species because it lays eggs. Only mama horta's left. She's the only one. All of her eggs are getting plowed over by those guys mining Pergium. That would put her and those eggs as an endangered species. Q's trial of humanity at the beginning and end of Next Generation, completely unfair. Judges aren't supposed to be prosecutors. You can't say plead guilty or I shoot you. It's not how it works. So just to end this, when I was in the eighth grade, I nearly died horribly of Crohn's disease. I know what it's like to look in the mirror and see a corpse. I understand Captain Pike's fear of ending up in the chair, because that's how I feel with every doctor's appointment. So, while I was recovering for a month in the hospital, there were two films that I would watch in between medication and treatment. Wrath of Khan, Raiders of the Lost Ark. My godmother called her sister, who was a florist in Beverly Hills, and got Nimoy to send me a get well card. Aww. In 2009, I got to thank him. Because he was speaking at a legal event. I know it's weird. I was one of the first 30 people up, 900 people behind me, thanked him and started walking away. He stopped me three times, putting his hand on my shoulder. I know what it's like to get the Vulcan in neck pinch. Sadly, that's how I look happy. There is no cure. And it's why I didn't have children. So the legal adventure is just beginning. And I think it's question time. You, sir.
I'm going to stand up. So, quick question and a comment. Question, this has always bothered me. War on the Klingon in Starfleet. Data on the Android, same ship. Who gives? That doesn't make any sense.
That's America.
Comment. Let me just say comment real quick. Man, the first person in my life that ever convinced me to really give DS9 a chance. So, thanks for that.
Sir. My favorite characters are Spock and Worf because they highlight you can have completely different cultures, logic base and honor base, and believe in the same ideals. That's America.
Two more questions,
Brianna.
Yes.
How do we establish jurisdiction?
Well, let me tell you about personal jurisdiction and minimum contacts and subject matter jurisdiction in the briefest way possible. Okay, so there's this case called Asahi, which is radically complicated. And if commerce moves through a particular place and you are purposely availing yourself to the laws of that city, that state, there can be jurisdiction over you. That's why when you see in clickware agreements, they might say our forum is California or Delaware or New York, because they don't want to get hauled into court in every state in the union.
Interesting.
All right,
but presumably, like, out of state.
Oh, and out of we need a frame of reference, so I'm using the law that we got in order to do that. Now, let's not cross into the Martian and maritime law, but there's a lot there.
Are you a space lawyer? Yet?
My dad was in charge of putting the tiles on the space shuttle. I took my earliest memory as the rollout of Columbia.
Okay.
And I took him to the last launch.
All right, one last question.
All right, what about custody law? Like with the new Picard, we got lots of things there.
So we talked about that in our podcast series on Picard, because I think it's a little, I would be super hurt if I had to have a relationship with a woman and 23 years later she shows up and says, hey, here's your kid. I would be very hurt. I never got to play, you know, catch, do all the dad things. Beverly was legally in her right to do that. However, I think she should be stopped from trying to go after child support for like 18 years because Picard didn't even know Jack existed. And yes, for Picard season 3, I cried through most of it. It's perfect.
Very
loyally
and very thankful.
Yes.
All right, thank you so much.
Thank you. Thank you.
Thank you. All right. We gotta do this next one faster. We have 5 minutes between acts, so 5 minutes.